Welcome to the Advance Your Art podcast, where we talk about the journey from artist to entrepreneur and everything in between. You've worked hard to hone your craft. Now take it to the next level with tips, techniques, strategies, and routines used by successful artists to grow their businesses and careers. Now, let's get started and have some fun with your host, Yuri Cataldo.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show, Beth. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm just enjoying a nice, cool fall day.
I know. It's gorgeous here in Nashville.
Oh, that's wonderful. What's the temperature like these days?
Well, I think it's in the upper 60s today.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, you really can't ask for better weather. The trees are at that point where they're just like peaking with the color, mm-hmm. and you just want to be outside all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it absolutely sounds amazing. So diving in, how is it that you describe what it is that you do?
I would describe what I do by, I use storytelling to create momentum. So if you are an existing business and you need to reach more people to grow your audience or your network, or if you are starting from the very beginning, I can coach you all the way through how to use communication strategies, mm-hmm. in order to connect with more people.
Wonderful. I'm sure your business has evolved over the years, but primarily now, do you work more with companies or individuals, or who's the most interested these days in your company?
Well, I work primarily with individuals.
Okay.
That's really exciting for me, especially to watch someone who has a passion, who wants to live out their purpose, but don't necessarily know the steps to take or the order of the steps to take, and I'll coach them through that process so that they're actually stepping into becoming who it is that they are meant to be. So a lot, mm-hmm. of times that takes time and reflection and understanding as far as, is this really the direction I want to go? Mm-hmm. Are these the choices I want to make? Let's do one thing at a time, and then all of that seems to become very clear. Okay. Once they start this process of self-discovery and really focusing in on how is it that they want to spend their time every day.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, do you primarily work with artists or creatives, or is it just pretty much anybody who really needs help finding their purpose?
I really like to work with people who help people.
Okay.
A lot of my clients are those out there who are working to make this world just a better place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whether that's with their coaching practice or with their artistic practice, people who really have a heart to create a more compassionate world.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, like, let's start from the beginning then on how you evolved and got into this. So what did you originally study in college?
I studied marketing in college.
Okay.
So boring.
Well, no, not necessarily, but yeah, a little bit different than what you're doing now.
Well, it was mainly marketing for corporations.
Okay.
So it was that focus. It was like, you're going to leave this school and you're going to go out and you're going to work for a big corporation, and that's it. Mm-hmm. There was no classes about how to be an entrepreneur. And I really wish that there were, because I know all along, this is all I've ever really wanted to do, mm-hmm. was follow whatever it is that I had in my head to do. So when I left school, I didn't get a big corporate job. I actually left the country instead to become a scuba diving instructor. And lived in the Caribbean, mm-hmm. and that's kind of where I started actually living out my dreams. Like, I always just wanted to follow my dreams and be happy and have fun. And my family always told me that wasn't possible. And I was like, no, it's possible. I'm going to do this. So that's what I did. I became a scuba diving instructor, and I was going to use that as my trade to move around the world, and different spots like the Caribbean. And I ended up there and lived there for about a year and a half and realized I don't want to do this anymore. So
wait, before you get into that, I'm really curious on, so that does, because it's, so you're in grad school, you're going, you know, the traditional MBA path toward, you know, working for a consulting firm or working for a big corporation in the marketing world. And somewhere along the line, you were like, nope, I'm going to go to the Caribbean and be a scuba diver. I'm really curious. I'm like, so what? Because I always joke about that, because I actually would love to be in the Caribbean and just kind of ride around on a sailboat for a while, which is like long-term goal. But I'm really curious. So like, was that like, did it happen? Is it a moment, a conversation, or what was it that suddenly triggered in your mind that you're like, yes, I didn't care what I went to school for. This is what I want, and this is what I'm going to do. And then to actually do it. So what was that? How did that like process happen?
Well, I mean, I was certified just as a diver when I was 13. My parents were divers, and they wanted us to take a family trip, so we all got certified. And then when I started registering for classes freshman year, I saw in the, like, PE program that they had scuba diving. And I was like, oh, I want to go live on a beach and be a scuba diving instructor. I remember actually sitting down freshman year, first semester, with a career counselor. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And they were like, what do you want to do? And I was like, this. And they were like,
That's great.
do that then. Right. So freshman year, I got my next certification.
Okay.
And then I think sophomore year, I got another, because it's like six or so certifications you have to get before you can become an instructor. Mm-hmm. And then senior year, I was actually working as a TA with the diving program at the school.
Okay.
And went through the instructor course training after I graduated. So after that, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I just started looking for jobs. And I guess it was about 6 months later, I got hired to go work in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And then that wasn't a very good fit. And so then I went to St. Croix and I worked there and stayed there the longest.
Okay. Okay, so I guess it wasn't as – so still dramatic, not as dramatic as I thought it was, that you were leading up to this idea of being a scuba diving instructor. You didn't just, like, wake up one morning after you graduated and like, nope, I'm good. Oh, let's try a scuba diving instructor. And then,
no, I'm very strategic in all the things that I do, but I would have to say the most dramatic part of that story is when I had a party when I was leaving Austin, Texas, where I was, and – because I was moving to the Bahamas, well, everyone just thought it was a theme party. They didn't actually think that I was moving. But I was like, no, I'm leaving next week. I'm flying out. I'm gone. Bye. They're like, what? I thought we were just supposed to wear bathing suits. And
I mean, that sounds like a fun party either way. But yeah.
It was the best going away party ever.
Right? Apparently. So how long then did you work as a scuba diving instructor?
For about a year and a half.
Okay.
If just in the Caribbean, but in Texas, I was for probably a year there.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it didn't seem to work out, as far as like, I knew that my life had a greater call beyond just living on the beach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people think I'm crazy for having gone there and left to come back to the States. But I think the idea of living on the beach in the Caribbean is a lot different. Like, the fantasy is a lot different than what actually happens.
Oh, sure.
So, see, living that firsthand, it was kind of like, all right, I did it. I'm going to go back to the States. I'm going to go, and my next dream was be an artist. So
Okay. Then
I became an artist, and I started selling paintings and having shows and building my business online using digital marketing. And, that's what I've been doing for the last 10 years.
Wow, that's wonderful and a great switch. So what did you, so when you decided to leave the Caribbean, what made you decide to go to Nashville?
Well, you know, it's a really great city in the South, which, you know, I'm from Texas and I wanted to stay warm still. And so I came to Nashville just because it attracts a lot of creative people, and I wanted to be around others that had the same kind of passion for using their creativity to build the life of their dreams.
Okay, great. And then with your painting, did you just start, like, did you take classes? Did you have some friends who were painters? Why did you choose to have painting be your medium? And then how did you learn that skill?
Well, in school, I had to take art history, and I fell in love with the idea of the lives that, you know, like what it would be like to live as an artist, because of all these artists I studied and saw how their work was a reflection of just how they took in their life and the life around them. And I thought that that was really a valuable thing to do, and I love doing it. Like, I love creating. I've been a creative since I was born, and you either know you are or you aren't. Mm-hmm. And if you are, you like are a lot, and people don't seem to like understand what that's like. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Do you? Yeah. You get it. Okay.
I get it.
You're, like, always trying to find your place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is only around, like, other types of creatives, because then you feel like, oh, these are my people. And this feels right. Like, I feel normal right now. And that's kind of what I was looking for. So that's why I moved to Nashville, to mm-hmm. be around other creatives. And so I was just like, I want to be an artist. I want to paint. And so I just started doing it. I watched some YouTube videos and bought a couple books, but really it was more about me just expressing whatever was inside of me, or like I would have visions and I would just go and try to take those visions and make them real. So mm-hmm. I would just make whatever I was seeing in my head. And then over the years, it's changed a lot. So I started with graphite on paper actually in college. I would take fun classes, mm-hmm. and which were like design classes and costume design and things like that. And mm-hmm. so I was taking this theatrical designer class, like, for drawing. And so that's when I was like, oh, I love drawing. So I started on graphite on paper. And then when I was in the Caribbean, the only materials that I had were like magazines and paper and glue. And so I started collaging.
Okay.
And so then I collaged, and then I moved into painting, and then mixed media. And then, so I've worked with oils and acrylics.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also play guitar and sing. So always had music as well to sort of balance out, like, when I wasn't making art, I was writing songs. And then I did painted murals and have worked with community members to create art, and mm-hmm. I've just sort of dabbled in all, and like photography and everything. I just love experimenting with lots of different mediums, but now I primarily paint with acrylic on canvas.
Okay.
And that's my thing. And I'm an abstract painter, and I use line and color to show the difference or the two sides between how we live within struggle and how we live within hope.
Hmm.
And that in between the two is choice.
Okay.
And so I like to use the colors and the line in my paintings to show how energetically we can move in between the two, and that the one thing that moves us beyond each is choice.
Hmm.
And so choice is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we don't give ourselves enough credit for being able to make choices for ourselves that are going to ultimately move us in the direction where we want to be. So I want to create that conversation with my work,
mm-hmm.
so that it is inspiring people to move beyond where they are into a place that is going to be more fulfilling,
mm-hmm.
and bring them more joy. Because ultimately it's about seeking joy and spreading that sort of energy out into the world so that we're all living more lovingly.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need that.
We definitely do. So I'm really curious on the subject matter of your art, because it's something that's a little more on the abstract side. When you were
mm-hmm.
starting off, when was it that you decided that you wanted to take your art from just, you know, from just painting it in yourself, for yourself in your studio, and displaying it and selling it to others? Where was that moment where you decided that you were ready to put your art out there?
Well, I knew that that's what you had to do. I mean,
okay.
if you want to sell your art, you have to put it out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just cruise on the Craigslist community artist page looking for opportunities to have shows. And if there was a call, I was submitting. And if there was an event, I was going to it.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at other people's art, and I was seeing how they were doing it. And I was always just looking to keep becoming better and better and better with the materials I use, with the processes I use, with the stories I was telling. I always just would put myself out there, even though it was scary. I mean, most of the time I would just, like, during shows, lurk in the background and just watch people. I wouldn't really engage that much, but
mm-hmm.
eventually it turned into having a show and performing my music on stage. And so I would, that's a whole nother level of vulnerability, which
mm-hmm.
I actually have taken classes in order to, reduce that amount of anxiety and fear that I would get before having to do any of that
okay.
stuff. But I mean, it's exhausting. It's emotionally exhausting when you have a show and then you're done and then you're like, wow, I did that. Okay.
Yeah, it is an exhausting proposal, especially then, you know, from what you're doing and constantly putting yourself out there over and over and over again. Is it, because you've done it so much now, is it something that you've become just more used to? Do you still get those, like, I guess, the butterflies and that feeling, uneasy feeling? Have you kind of gone past that, or do you still get that?
I think that's something that I will always have.
Okay.
But it doesn't stop me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the difference. And with the practice, you kind of just, well, I mean, in that class I was telling you about, I learned a lot of different breathing techniques
okay.
in order to calm myself down before moments where I would have to put myself out there in front of people. And so that really helps. So there's a mental, emotional process that I go through to prepare
mm-hmm.
so that I can be resilient in the fact that, you know, I know I may feel uneasy.
Mm-hmm. So at what point then in your career and time in Nashville did you decide to, you know, be involved in the community and start the Nashville Creative Group?
Well, it's funny because, you know, growing your business, a lot of it is connecting with people and building relationships and growing your email list and connecting or like reaching back out to collectors and friends to get to go to your shows and stuff. So online, I was building a pretty great network,
mm-hmm.
and I started to notice how people were, how we could have these really rich conversations on Facebook with the people that I had brought together in my network. And so from there, it seemed like, well, other people could really benefit from this, you know? And I don't have all the time in the day to answer emails, people asking me questions about how to break into the art scene or how to do this or how to do that. And so when we started a group, a bunch of friends just started meeting up and talking about art. And then we loved the conversation, so we started a community group on Facebook. And that was 4 years ago, and now we have nearly 5,000 members.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and there's just questions and engagement every day, all day. There's just a lot of activity. You know, it's not like a community group where there's one person driving the conversation. Like, everyone is driving the conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's great that we've created a place for people to come and be able to share what they know. Like, we all just share our knowledge in order to help one another.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful that you've been able to create that, such a close-knit community. So are there, you know, I guess weekly or monthly meetups on different subjects? Do you do shows together? Like, what's the extent of the group beyond, like, an online forum?
Well, we started with monthly meetups. So okay. We've been meeting monthly for over 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And then I guess it was a couple years ago, we added happy hours. So then we started having happy hours later in the month. Mm-hmm. And we have done shows together, but primarily it's a network where we support one another and inspire each other on this creative path. So at our monthly meetings, we do something called show and tell, mm-hmm. where people come and they use that time to be able to practice speaking about their work, their process, and why it matters. And then we do Q&A, and it's a way for the community to have a better awareness of what people are making.
Oh, that's great.
And so it's photographers, painters, songwriters, composers, and poets, and all types of interesting people who are just passionate about creating and sharing. And, you know, it's a safe environment, mm-hmm. so we attract those who are needing that. So it's not just as easy as it sounds to get up and speak about your work.
Oh, I know. It's so having gone to many art school programs, I can tell you firsthand it's terrifying, especially if you're not 100% feeling confident about whatever, like yourself or your whatever your piece is at that moment. So that's you're right. That's a truly valuable thing to be able to give to your community, is their ability to practice that. Because so many times, and I've taught classes where students get up and they say, well, this isn't very good, and they start staring at their feet, or they turn around, they stare at the board or stare at their artwork, and they just start mumbling about kind of what they did. And then you're like, wait, what? That's not really helping me any. And also, what, you know, if it's one of those things where if you're not interested in your artwork, then why should I be interested in your artwork? And why are you,
right?
Why are you apologizing the entire time for doing this? So yeah, like just for that aspect of being able to practice speaking, that's amazing. Do you also do group art shows or, you know, sales in that kind of way?
We have done them in the past. You know, my path is not curating and hosting art events for large groups of people, because it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And if I already know, like, that's where I draw the line. Like, if I'm going to go through that process, it's got to be something that I really feel passionate about.
Okay.
Because hosting an art event like that is a ton of work, and coordinating people is a ton of work. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad that we all have a space where we can come together. So if someone wanted to do that, they would very easily be able to connect with artists who are interested in that type of opportunity. Okay. So through the creative group, there are a lot of calls that come through, or people who are hosting shows are, you know, using that forum or that audience as a way to find new artists for whatever it is that they're doing. So I think that's great that we can be a space to empower people to do things that we're not going to do, mm-hmm. like as an official group. Now, we will partner with organizations and, you know, I will help promote in that sense. But as far as like big group shows, that was never the intent of the group. It was always a place to just connect and support.
Okay.
And we have, so we've done some in the past as a way to bridge the gap between the business and the arts community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did an event with the Entrepreneur Center in Nashville, and that was great.
That's great. So what, how did you approach them about that, and how did you position that meetup?
Well, I was their artist in residence.
Okay.
And I worked with the startups to talk about their creative strategies for how they see their brands and their communication to really have people truly understand their product or service in a way that was really clear.
Mm-hmm.
And so just using creative thinking in order to like organize business practices.
Okay.
And so because I was working out of the center, and they have a space and they wanted to attract more creative type people and organizations. Like they just wanted to bring some of that creative lifeblood into the space. We decided that we would do an event mm-hmm. where everyone pretty much was responsible for bringing their work and showing up, and we were all promoting it. And so it was just a great kind of gathering of these two different groups.
Mm-hmm.
That was really nice. So I work with the Entrepreneur Center a lot on many different projects. They're a wonderful resource for anyone who wants to be an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
including artists, because that's exactly what they are.
Right. Oh yeah, they're their own you know, business and all kinds of things. I'm curious. Because so what you've done is really exciting and unique. The idea of creating this, you know, creative community, because so many artists and even entrepreneurs have a tendency of working by themselves. It's like, you know, like kind of that solo idea of the, you know, the genius working in their little in their studio or in the basement in the garage on their projects, and a lot oftentimes that can be very isolating. What would you recommend to either an artist or entrepreneur about creating a community like you did? Like how easy or what kind of steps would you do if you had to start all over again to do that?
Well, gosh, that's a good question, because it took many, many years and it wasn't always clear in the beginning. What I was doing as far as building a community. But really, I mean, the truth of it is, when I moved to Nashville, I didn't have any family or friends. Mm-hmm. I knew nobody. So first step, I needed friends. And how do you make friends? You
right.
know, you go out there and you put yourself out there and you go to things that would be, you know, a place where you would meet like-minded people. So mm-hmm. I always knew that the best way to meet others was to volunteer. So I would go and volunteer to hang a show or help out with this organization or that. And that's where I actually met my very first friend, who has now been my best friend mm-hmm. since I moved to Nashville. And that was, you know, nearly 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And now, like, she's family. And she actually introduced me to some artist friends of hers. And then we were in a group that met once a week for 2.5 years.
Okay.
And we would create art together. And that was kind of my first step into the arts community. And then from there, I just kept asking questions and learning from the people I was meeting and making an effort to go out into the community and meet people and support my friends and their shows. And I was blogging about it and I was helping promote the events so that more people would have an awareness of all these cool, fun art things that were going on. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it just kept just like, I never meet a stranger. Like, I'll just go out and talk to whoever and mm-hmm. try to find commonalities. But I mean, I'm a social person but I'm an introvert. So like, I get my energy from being alone.
Okay.
But I like being around people because it just feels better. Mm-hmm. It just makes me feel happier to be around people that feel like family, that feel like community.
Okay.
And so I would say if you're wanting to do something like this, then definitely put yourself out there. Go do new things that you've never done before, because that's where you're going to meet new people. And continually like connect and follow up and build relationships and be very consistent about it. And if you're wanting to bring people together, then you need to find an event space where you can come and meet. And then you pick a day and a time, and then you start telling everyone and inviting them to come. And then they come, and just like a birthday party or whatever, like you just pick a place and a day and you invite people to get together, and then they do. And if you do that consistently, then you're building in a format that then other people can then join in. Do you meet every month? Yes, it's this day at this time. It's the same every time. And that gives you credibility. Mm-hmm. And then new people will come, and then it just continues to grow and grow and grow. And I've actually talked with a lot of people here who are community builders mm-hmm. and have groups that meet up. And we thought we needed a group for just community leaders, like so that we can talk about like the different things that we experience with, like, well, how do you grow a community and how do you bring people together? And does it seem to level off ever? And it was like, I always just tried to be a listener mm-hmm. and deliver on the things that the people wanted.
Okay.
And that was the main goal, because it wasn't about me or my agenda. It was about how do we really be this beacon of light here in Nashville with all the creative talent that's here? Like, how do we harness that and channel it in a way that over time, like, we're really going to be doing something special that no other city in the world is doing mm-hmm. simply because we're hyper connected. And as a community, we're all raising it up for everybody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's wow. It's absolutely fantastic that's happening right there. So with everybody, I guess, you know, with you constantly meeting new people and in the arts and entrepreneurship space, are there, favorite books that you have that constantly are getting recommended, you know, books or websites that people should go to that help them either in the entrepreneurship side or the art side?
So many. Right now I'm reading Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. I know there's other books like The War of Art mm-hmm. is a book that a lot of people I know have recommended. And then we actually are partnering with Corey Huff from The Abundant Artist mm-hmm. in January. We're doing a workshop together, that's going to be exciting. And then we partnered with Sergio and Yanina Gomez in Chicago with The Artist Next Level, which is a great community supportive space for artists looking to grow their career. Mm-hmm. And we've just been connecting with people all over the nation who are doing things that are helping artists. And we're just like, well, here, come dip into our pool, because we're here and we're doing great things, but we are not doing all things. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it makes sense to bring in people like Corey and Sergio to come and share their knowledge with the group, too.
Yeah, so that's great. And they're all coming to Nashville to do especially workshops and programs?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. with the creative group. It's really exciting.
Yeah, that's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. I am surprised that all these wonderful things are happening, because, you know, when I set out to do these things, it wasn't it wasn't for this purpose. It was simply just to bring people together because there was a need. Mm-hmm. There was no rally point where we could all just communicate easily and clearly and effectively so that we knew how to navigate the art scene here. Mm-hmm. It was always like, well, this Google group or this page or on, you know, Craigslist. And so now we're all on Facebook, like everybody else is on Facebook. And yet we have brought people together in a way where we can all just get what we need when we need it. Mm-hmm. So it's perfect. Yeah. How can you do anything if you're not communicating?
that's very true. You can't just, you know, sit there and keep everything to yourself and expect things to come to you.
Yeah, if it's funny too, because I have people asking me about, you know, can you help me promote this or that, or can you share this on the page? And it's like, well, why don't you do it? Mm-hmm. Like, you have access just like I have access, you know? If you go on there and you introduce yourself and have a presence and have a voice, I mean, people will listen. And you can tell the ones who post more frequently because they have higher engagement, mm-hmm. as far as comments and likes and things. Okay. So I just don't understand where is the disconnect between I have something to say and I need people to listen, mm-hmm. but yet I'm not doing it. I'm not saying it. I don't get it. Like, do you know why that happens?
Well, I think with some of that, it might be like fear. You know, like if you feel like your whatever your question is or your statement, it maybe isn't, you know, isn't like as well developed as you'd like it to be. So you think people are going to think less of you and think that you're dumb or, you know, or, you know, are just asking, you know, it's, yeah. Because I know that I recently started writing some articles for a site called Steam It. And, you know, even though I've written articles before for newsletters, for my, you know, my personal business, a couple other things, when I was thinking about new topics, I got really intimidated because I was reading other people writing, and it's like, it's a big mixture of people from various types of skills. And yeah, so you start to question your own writing ability, whether or not your ideas are clear enough. It's, you know, there's a lot of self-doubt that I was mm-hmm. facing, and I'm sure that same thing happens for a lot of people. That's like you start giving in to that, you know, that voice in your head that tells you that maybe you're not, stuff isn't as good as someone else's, and that you should just sit down and be quiet because right. someone else will, you know, will say it better. So that might be, you know, some, I know, at least for me anyway, I could definitely see that happening. If there was a huge forum of lots of people, that sometimes it could be intimidating to kind of speak up if there's already dozens of people kind of leading the conversation.
Okay. Well, fear, you know, it does that sometimes. Mm-hmm. It stops you. And that's a lot of what we, you know, talk about in the group, is not allowing the fear to stop you from doing whatever it is that you want. Mm-hmm. Because it's not worth it.
Right. Oh, you're right. It definitely isn't. You know, it's like thing. It's a momentary thing. And what usually happens is, especially for me, is I built up the scenario in my head that is like 100 times worse than it ever could be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get caught on that narrative and you're like, you know, this is what's going to happen. And it's this big thing. And then you kind of talk yourself out of it. When ultimately it's like when I learn to get past that and just kind of tell my inner critic to shut up and just do it. Oftentimes mm-hmm. it's like things work out. It's never, and even when things didn't work out, it was never as bad as I imagined in my head, ever. Not even close.
Right. Yeah. No, you're 100% right about that. And I think when we feel that fear and then we do what we want to do anyways, then we are in a place of growth mm-hmm. and we can never go back. So it's like, if you can just keep doing the things that you want to do, regardless of that emotion, mm-hmm. and I think all that emotion of fear tells you is what you care about. So if you feel fear because you're wanting to put yourself out there, it's because you care about what other people think about you, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And if you think, well, what if I did it? what would people think about me? What are the good things? What are the bad things? And then am I going to live afterwards? Like, yes, like you're not going to die by doing this. Okay, well then just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Because you want to, like you have a desire to. And like Deepak Chopra says that fear is our ego self telling us like who we are, and that's not really our true self. And our true self is the creativity, is that passion, and the fear is not. So like separating the two, I think, is really kind of a cool way to shift your perspective, knowing that that fear is not coming out of the same place that your creativity and your passion is coming from.
Sure.
So then it makes it like it's okay, because I know that it's not the powerful kind of source that drives me to do all the things that I do. It's just there sort of nagging me, trying to get me to stop. But
I also
it does.
I can say I also think that when you do hit that fear, it means that you're on the right path, because it's like touching a part of you that's a little bit, you're a little bit nervous to let out there. So by chasing after things that make you, you know, have that fear, I think it does mean like you're inching closer and closer and closer to something that's truly meaningful and deep for you. Because if you didn't really care about it, then why would you be afraid of putting it out there?
Yes. And I always say that when you feel uncomfortable, you know it's working.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that you're doing, if you're uncomfortable, it's working. Because that's when you feel vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're uncomfortable is when you're growing. And it's good. It's a good thing. It's like to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. I think that is something that people who are constantly putting themselves out there and trying new things and experimenting, like that is kind of what I guess you experience, because you're constantly changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So as you know, you're a really busy person. Are there routines that you have or rituals that you do on a daily basis, or, you know, or apps or things that you utilize to keep your, you know, to keep you on task, to keep creating new work and to organize your life?
Yes, I try to sleep well, and I try to eat well, like taking care of my body, being out in nature, and having a nice work-life balance. It's really important for me to keep going, because I have experienced burnout before. So there's no reason to put so much pressure on yourself in order to perform or produce, because you're not really doing your best if you are not feeling your best. Because I think that it comes out with whatever it is that you're creating. If you're not feeling well, it's going to come out, and people can pick up on that, I think. So yeah, just taking care of myself and meditation. And like this morning, for instance, I drank my lemon water and some tea, and I did yoga, and then I journaled, and then I got ready for my day.
Oh, great.
But I have to set that intention like the night before.
Okay.
Otherwise, I could get lazy and just play on Facebook for a little while and then drink a pot of coffee. You know, like I just told you, I was making coffee before we got on the phone call. And yeah, that's because I didn't have it this morning.
Well, maybe that's a good thing, because you've been so, you know, organized and energized that you didn't need it until you decided to talk to me. And then you're like, oh, well, I need coffee now.
No. It was me just like, I'm going to try to be healthy right now today or whatever. And try to get some good, like, liquid in my body before I'm, like, dehydrating it. So, and I made a nice lunch. And so I, like, cooked a lot yesterday, like, getting my meals ready for the whole week. And you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's I feel lazy compared to all of this, because I those are all things that I want to do. Like I want to cook all the meals on Sunday. But it just doesn't work out like that. I have a tendency of getting a pot of coffee on, especially on a Sunday, getting a pot of coffee and then being much more lazy.
Well, I think, too, giving yourself grace is also something that I practice because mm-hmm. we're not perfect. And who would want to be? What fun is that? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you just do the best you can every day. So last night I was thinking about my week because I like to set, you know, goals a lot as far as what, how do I envision like the best day possible or how do I want to feel? And if I don't feel that way, then what can I do to get there? Mm-hmm. So if I'm feeling tired, then I need to sleep more. Yeah. Last night I went to sleep at like 9 o'clock, which was actually like 8 o'clock because of daylight savings,
right?
Which is super early, but, you know, I got a good 10 hours of sleep and here I am Monday morning and I'm ready to go. And I know like how I want my body to feel and I think about my week and what I want to accomplish and what do I need to be able to do all the things I want to do. So mm-hmm. I just think about it ahead of time and I try to live life on purpose and make choices based on what it is that I want to see happen. So.
Sure. So what would you say is the best advice you've ever received?
To believe in myself. Hmm. You know, like we were talking about earlier, the fear and the self-doubt and all that, it can get in the way of what you're meant to do. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend just tell me, if you can see what I see, like you wouldn't feel this way. Hmm. So step into who you are mm-hmm. and just, you know, shine bright and just keep on. And sometimes you just need someone to tell you that so that you can be reminded mm-hmm. of, you know, all the good things that you're actually doing. Because when you're in the weeds, like, I feel like I don't see what other people see. All I see is what I need to do. And beyond that, like, I have to purposely, like, step outside and look at all the things. And I'm like, wow. This is happening, mm-hmm. you know, like this is real. It's not like I'm trying to be an entrepreneur. I'm trying to be an artist. Like I already am. Mm-hmm. So what am I trying to prove? Like I've got nothing to prove. I just need to keep following my intuition and trust that whatever is ahead of me is exactly what I need to be doing. Mm-hmm. As long as I can just continue to be healthy and feel good and show up for whatever could be.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's a fantastic way to think and to work. That's great. So, if the listeners want to hear or actually see more of what you're working on and hear more about what you're doing, what is the best way to see your work and get a hold of you?
You can go to my website at bethenglish.com. That's BethEnglish. Mm-hmm. And then that's my handle on like Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and stuff. So at Beth English. And you can Google me and, you know, find my blog and, you know, sign up for my newsletter and all that stuff. And I'll be just doing my thing, putting myself out there, not being afraid.
Right. That's that's great. And I will... I'll make sure
I'm just going to tell myself, like, you will not be afraid today.
I think that's a great, like a t-shirt or a slogan to have on your wall. Just, you will not be afraid today. That's a good reminder to have.
You know, Mossimo did that in the 90s. It was called No Fear. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They need to, like, bring that back because millennials would eat that up.
Mm-hmm. They would. Well, there you go. Maybe there's another. I bet you somebody in the Nashville creative group might want to create some really cool No Fear t-shirts.
Hey, there you go. Uh-huh. And then Mossimo will be like, oh, no, you didn't.
Right, exactly. We had these copyrighted, and then there'll be another lawsuit.
Shoot.
Well, all right.
We just don't want to be afraid anymore. Like, there's no harm in that.
Exactly. I'm sure someone could figure it out. It'll be good.
All good.
So yeah, so I will make sure I put all those links in the show notes so people can go directly from the show notes into your website and find you on all the social medias.
Yes, on the interwebs. Mm-hmm. My dad just called it cyberspace last week. I thought that was funny. and he used the word the net.
The net.
So make sure you put it all out there on the net.
On the net and the cyberspace. Definitely, that's yeah. A good idea. I hear that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's up and coming from what I can tell.
Brilliant.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Beth. This has been great. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure, sure. Have a good afternoon.
You too.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Advancer Art Podcast. If you truly enjoy this, please head over to iTunes and download additional interviews, as well as hit the subscribe button so that as new episodes come out, they will automatically go to your phone. Also, while you're there, please give us a 5-star rating, which helps our iTunes rankings. If you'd like to see more information, head on over to advanceyourart.com, where you can find information about each of the guests, as well as projects that I am working on. And always, if you're in the Boston area, please feel free to reach out. I can be found on Twitter at YCataldo, or you can email me, Yuri@advanceyourart.com. Thank you so much, and have a great day.